This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello folks, Shianara, Shianara. I hope you're all well. This is episode 43. It's Al Pitcher. Thank you for allowing me to put some pod in your ear. Like a little earbud. I will cleanse you. I will make, you know, it's quite nice when the little thing goes in your ear, isn't it? The little earbud, you know, that kind of nice little feeling. So I sat down with a friend, a fellow comedian who's doing fantastic things. I sat down with Sophie Hagen, and she's from Denmark. She's brilliant. She's won awards, and she is one of those comedians that seems to have found her voice. So that interview is, when I say found her voice, it doesn't mean she was going around not saying shit for ages. And then just one day she opened up her mailbox. She got an email from Gmail and it said, here, play this. And you find it. As a comedian, I think you you find your own voice, you know. And she's definitely doing that. So we will talk to her extremely soonage. Up till now, I just want to tell you, I'm off to France in the morning. I'm going to the Euros. I'm going to see Sverige versus Belgium, Sverige versus Italy. I will be in Nice. And it's going to be fun. I'm not very good at doing fun, you know. My wife and kids will be enjoying the sunshine of Sverige and another nation, but they're not coming to the football, and I'll be there on my own for 9 days. It's going to be very awkward. I'm not very good on my own. I'll miss the kids. So if the kids are listening, respect to the little ones, the Gubin. So I'm there. So I'll be doing a podcast from there. I'll be doing football. If you like football, I do a football podcast as well. Basically, whatever pod you need, I am the person for that. What else has happened? I went to Finland. Finland, very funny place. Very strange little people. Almost grey. Almost determined to make you feel angry about yourself. I queued up twice in shops, and both times there was two queues, and a little Finnish old lady, like a wrinkled Moomin, just kind of pushed. She didn't even push. She just kind of, it was like playing a video game and you're driving, and then all of a sudden the car just kind of leans over, comes across the lanes and cuts you off. It was like that. There was no word spoken. And I did the usual noises. But she was having none of it. And so that happened twice. And that can happen in Finland. A lot of stuff can happen in Finland. They're a good crowd. I was in Helsinki and a place called Kuopio. I went to the gym, didn't I? I went to the gym. We actually didn't talk about this, Sophie and I. But I went to the gym, I did a little workout, and I said, did the old CrossFit, been doing the CrossFit. And then I mimed the CrossFit, and it's not really CrossFit I was doing. I was just on the machine, you know, where your legs, where you have the hands, the cross machine. cross runner or something. So I wasn't actually doing the proper CrossFit. So I felt a bit of a dick. And then I went for a run. And I had my headphones on and the phone fell off the headphones and then spun back. And there was a little person doing sit-ups, you know, little sit-ups with a ball. You know, those ones where you put your leg on the big ball, the medicine ball. I thought you only used it for birth, but you use it for sit-ups as well. And it nearly cut the person's head off. So that was a bit dramatic. But I did some gigs. I went to Kuopio. I enjoyed it. So if you were there, kitos, kitos. Learned a few funny words, a few Finny words. And I learned that the Finnish like to drink quite heavily. I know that beats any stereotype you've ever heard of them. But crikey, oh dikey, oh mikey, dikey, tikey. They do like a drink. What else has happened? Let's talk about the sad news from Orlando. Not sad with any religion, not with any guns, not that. Just the 50 people. 50 fucking people have died. 50 people who went to a nightclub, who went to have a night out, and then it's just gone. The fear, the sadness, it must be absolutely incredible. So thoughts for them. And but what I don't have any answers. I'm just really, really numb, really sad. I want to stop the hate that's ruining a lot of things for me at the moment. Just stop the hate and try and be good people. Stop being dicks, you know, everybody. So my thoughts to the 50 people, and thank you for listening to this podcast. There's going to be some changes soon. Might even change the name. I'll keep the format. Email me. You can Facebook me actually as well. FB, do the old FB. Facebook me and just tell me how are you feeling. How everything's going. How's the sunburn? How is life? I just need contact. That's all I need. I'm surrounded by little kids normally. And there's just pointing and cleaning up. So enjoy this. This is Sophie Hagen. We did this in Finland. And I hope you have fun listening to this. This is Sophie Hagen. And I'm going to put in a new jingle. So here comes the jingle now. It's a chat with Al Pitcher. Chat, chat, chat. It's a chat with Al Pitcher. Chat, chatty, chat. And I'm outside. I forgot to mention that. Can you hear the birds? Puss, puss for now. Yes. Woo! Shangalangadoo. I've broken. It feels like I've broken into the Pentagon and like left a sandwich rather than anything else. Sophie Hagen, what are we going to do with you? You're here. Thank you for joining me in a Kuopio business center.
I think we're more at the point where what would you do without me?
Well, the world needs you. Yeah. That was quite clear last night.
What happened last night? Which one of them?
You were announced on stage by someone singing the Danish national anthem.
I mean, it was beautiful. It was a Finnish, so with like the Danish national anthem in a Finnish accent.
Done by a very drunk compere.
He's gotta be more than drunk.
Yeah. I mean, but I once did that. I once hosted, and Steve Hughes was on, and I got them to do a standing ovation. And Steve Hughes is not that kind of guy. And when he walked past me, he went, "Don't fucking do that again," like that. Like really angry Crocodile Dundee kind of style. So,
Well, I do that if they don't stand up.
But you played with it, didn't you?
I mean, it was just one of those gigs. We're in Finland, and it's such a weird situation. You know, just to be, just to been this, like 6 years ago, I was studying to be a social worker, and now I'm doing comedy in Finland. You know, I would never, have visited Finland if I hadn't been a comedian. And then when this guy jokingly said, "Oh, should I do the national anthem?" I wanted to play chicken with him, so I was like, "Yeah, do it."
Yeah, there was
I will. I was like, "Okay, then do it."
I was kind of hoping that you, I was very happy with the result that you kind of allowed your anthem to be sung.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I think sometimes it's. I used to have a, I still one of my the guy who directs my shows. He used to run this weird little gig where the whole point was that you needed to do something you wouldn't normally do, and you needed to challenge yourself. So when he emceed it and I was on, he would always give me these introductions that were so weird. Or like he would just go
challenging.
Yeah, he would go, "This next person, she but we didn't really want her on the bill because she's a pedophile, but but we kind of have to have her. So welcome to the stage." And then you have to battle that.
You have to kind of acknowledge it as well.
Yeah, you have to do something, and then you have to kind of get them back.
Yeah,
I had the same. There was a Danish comedian who once did the same thing. When he felt like I wasn't challenging myself, he would give me those introductions of just going, "She's a fine comedian, but I hate her. She's a horrible human being." And then I would have to, but it, you know,
in
that,
a fun
that
way.
Makes you. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think the audience didn't necessarily know that it was in a fun way. But
I've seen a couple of times where they've forgotten the names. They do that a little bit in Sweden, actually, where they forget the surname or something, so they just go, "His name's Jimmy," and they just leave it, and then like he has to go on, you know.
Yeah, but these were like on purpose to make me, well, a better comedian. So I kind of like when something really weird happens as you go on. And you just think, like, I once had to follow a magician, what's his name, Pete Furman? And it was a charity gig for these really old people, and they loved him.
He's proper old school kind of, you see it now, and there we go.
And you kind of believe in magic when you look at him. And I had to follow that. And Hal Cruttendon was emceeing, and he went up and just said, you know, "I'll give it up for Pete Furman, next person, Sophie Hagen." And then when he met me, as I was going on stage and he was leaving the stage, he just went, "Good luck." Good point. But I quite like, and then you have to do that. And
you're now your Danish's biggest export since Carlsberg, officially.
Yeah,
you are now in London kicking ass. You're doing great things
and doing comedy.
Yeah. Monday to Wednesday.
Yeah,
and then you did so good in Edinburgh. It was your first show, wasn't it?
First ever show. Yes,
it's called Bubble Wrap.
Yes, which I did in Lund. In Sweden, to a very enthusiastic 20 people crowd.
Yeah, in a 700-seater.
Yeah.
And then you're returning now. This is why you've come on here, basically, isn't
it? The only reason.
It's the plug. It's like the American chat shows.
Yeah.
What are you plugging? It's June the 19th.
So, I'm doing a new show, and I have to do... Well, when you do a new show, you have to test it out a lot of times to make sure it's good to show to Edinburgh this year, the Edinburgh Comedy Festival. So I spoke to Teresa Sandin, who I've heard great things about, and she set up a preview for me, like a work in progress show in Stockholm. Am I pronouncing that? Stockholm?
Yeah, Stockholm.
Stockholm.
Have you never been to Sweden?
I've been to well, obviously Malmö and Lund. I don't think I've ever been to Stockholm.
Wow. And even when you 6 years ago when you were doing social working, you didn't think I'd love to go to Kuopio in Finland. You never had that. Your dreams have been very restricted.
Well, I'm Danish, so the rest of Scandinavia have never been like the dream. Let's go to countries doing.
So this is your first visit to Stockholm.
First visit to Stockholm, yes, and first time showing doing a work in progress show in Sweden, which is very exciting.
What's your opinion on the Swedes?
You know, it's a fun thing because there is this weird. like battle or whatever, competition or like feud between Denmark and Sweden, and it's very fun to joke about. But then when you're in England and you say, "Oh, I'm from Denmark," they go, "Oh my God, Denmark, you're so liberal and you're so politically correct," and I'm like, "Oh no, No, that's Sweden you're thinking of.
You're getting mixed up with.
And that's what I keep. I always say that. I've said that so many times. Yeah. No, you're thinking of Sweden. And then you go to Denmark and they're like, oh, ew, Sweden, with their political correctness. We don't want
equality.
We don't want to turn out like Sweden, what with their respect for women and all.
But don't you think Sweden is like that? They're like that in the whole of Scandinavia. People are just, they don't like them, but they really kind of look at them like, oh, these guys, man, they've got it. They've got it sorted.
Well, they don't in Denmark. Sweden is the, you know, it's a thing that people say, let's not end up like Sweden. Because what they, most people in Denmark, or like the culture in Denmark is, oh, we don't want, you know, there's men and there's women, and that's what it's like. And then Sweden is very upfront on the whole transgender area, like with unisex toilets and hen instead of hen or hun.
Yeah, I find that very confusing. Anyway,
I think the Finns
have that as well. I think.
Oh really?
Where they just, but they were telling me last night they don't really have he or she. They have it. Basically.
Really? Is that like a new thing? There. Or is that
no,
just...
I think it's been their language. Oh, wow. Yeah. Which I find their language. Like, I can watch a Danish, Norwegian kind of TV, and you can sometimes, a little bit, Finnish. Oh, have a clue.
No, absolutely not. And we were watching that show yesterday, trying to figure out what they were saying before we had to go on stage.
Yeah.
He was like, I have no idea.
He just said Danish. He said Danish.
I thought he was slagging me off before I had to go on stage.
And he was talking about Tennis. Yeah. Tennis elbow.
And they're all rolling their eyes going, it's Danska.
But the show that you did and you won was all joyful. It was a journey about meeting, or was it?
It was, I mean, it depends what you're into.
You're a joyful person, aren't you?
Oh, God, no.
You don't think so? I've only spent a little bit of time with you. I find you quite...
Yeah, that's because I haven't mentioned serial killers yet.
No, because I find you quite a happy person. Happy really? with who you are kind of person.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm content.
Yeah.
Like, it's... it's what my show's about. It's about that I have this... usually I would spend an hour on stage telling this, but that I'm not essentially happy. Like, you know when you see happy people, like happy people who are, you know, they go to parties and they just, you know, they love
pretend
life
happy, though.
And they, I don't know. I mean, I know people who are just...
Well, my sister, she's got a white picket fence. She's got a couple of kids. She's been married for years. She loves life, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all she's ever wanted. And I think when you get into something like the entertainment world, you strive to be a bit better, and it's very hard to get. It's very hard to sit back and go, do you know what? Life is bloody all right.
Well, if we thought that, we wouldn't be doing this job.
Yeah, but if
we wouldn't be doing it.
But then if I looked back, I would never have dreamed I would be here.
No.
You know.
Oh, me neither. But that's because we're trying to, you know, I think everyone's more or less trying to fit in. You know, like you kind of grow up thinking that you want the white fence and the kids and the, and you know, and I thought I wanted that too. So I was kind of miserable. And then I found this where I can go into a backstage room and I can just talk about fucked up things and horrible destinies and all of these like dark subject matters, and people are, you know, people get it because we're all, I mean, it's kind of a cliche that comedians are broken, but we all have something. Like, there's a reason why we can, because in comedy it's about how we're never good enough. We'll never be good enough because we need to keep being better and better and better.
Yeah.
And that's not fun for normal people.
Yeah.
They, you know, they're striving to be happy with who they are, where we can never be completely satisfied because we need to keep getting better and better.
Are you more about, this is even in life, more about truth or entertainment?
Truth.
Yeah.
100%.
See, I'm entertainment. If you've got an audience, I will try and entertain them. I'll do anything. Do you know what I mean? They throw a carrot up. I don't know what I'd do with a carrot. But I...
Take off your shirt.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We saw that as well. There's a certain breed of person here in Finland that just a couple of drinks or some kind of adrenaline, it's male, shirts come off. And the host yesterday... He said, did you see what I did? See what I did? Basically, he took his clothes off beforehand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I was kind of like,
no shame.
Just go in the other room, mate. Just, you know.
Yeah, that was no shame.
Yeah. And then he was like, I put three socks on. Did you see that? Did you see that? And I was like, I was kind of worrying about my life and the gig, to be honest, apart from your footwear, you know?
It was a weird discussion about how they were going, oh, you know how people are superstitious about what they have to do before you go on stage. And I was like, yeah, but we all know that then you just don't do that, so you get over it. And they're like, no, we do this. I was like, oh, okay.
Do you have any superstitions?
No.
What about getting paid before a gig?
I mean, I would love that.
Yeah.
I feel a bit guilty if I get paid before a gig.
We're in a glass office.
Yeah, people are looking at us because we're celebrities.
Silence of the Lambs.
See how those people, they're trying to not look at us.
Yeah, that was tough for them. He even pretended that he had to go back to his hotel room, but he gave us a cheeky look and was like, that's those guys.
Oh, that's the famous people. Now, I have a thing where if I'm nervous and I'm not outside, like last night, gigs outside, never do them, where I take off my shoes because I have this idea that it will make my body think that I'm at home. So I might relax a bit more if my body thinks I'm in a living room and not on the stage. I don't know if it works, but...
Do you go on stage with no shoes?
Usually, yeah. Like if...
With no shoes?
Yeah, just like... I did it once on my bare feet, and that was horrible because I just kept thinking about how some people have issues with toes and feet.
Yeah.
So I kept thinking, oh, no, I'm distracting so many people. But usually, like, socks.
Russell Brand used to do that. He used to take shoes off and walk on stage, yeah.
Why? For the same reason?
I don't know. He was going through the whole kind of finding himself at that stage.
Oh, really? Well, it's not like... Well, like, when I first did it, people were very like, oh, is that your thing now? Is that going to be your thing? I was like, no, it's just... I do believe that when your feet are touching the ground and they're on like tight shoes, then maybe it'll do something to your body, like trigger it to be more comfortable. So it's not like a religious thing, it's just sometimes that feels more comfortable.
I'll take these shoes
off. If you want to spend an hour there,
but you don't think about the hygiene or like the dirtiness of the stage. And
well, it's just
sometimes
sucks.
I look at the microphone and I think
so many germs.
All the voice, all the air, you know,
it's disgusting. That all microphones have.
But
so
then,
many...
when you start getting into that, you're like, you'll be on the tunnelbana, the tube, and you'll be holding the bus thing, and you're like, I can't hold this.
Yeah, like your toothbrush has more germs than the inside of the toilet bowl.
Is it?
Yeah,
I thought you were just talking about me. This is why we're doing this. I've got the official records. That's why your teeth are manky. I actually did a show the other day for a load of dentists.
Really?
And they were all kind of white, you know, really. Because you can't go...
Yeah. It's like hairdressers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
you have to have good hair.
I find with hairdressers, they've got that haircut that you'll never fucking have. You know, they've got kind of shaved and then a big perm on the on the left. And you're like, I'll never get that haircut. But... I wonder if they just mess around with each other, you know, guinea pigs kind of. But
it's like
these people.
Tattoo artists, they just do each other. They're like, oh, I think I'll just have a tattoo. Oh, I just did a tattoo on myself. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but we're
yeah.
like, I have to decide this.
Have you got any tattoos?
I have three.
Okay.
Three tattoos. You know, increasingly better decisions from the Hemingway poem when I was 18 to have a comedian's quote on my other foot, and then I have a mom in a hat on my leg.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
On your leg.
On my leg.
So I did the dentist.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My dentist. Do you know the dentist song from Little Shop of Horrors? In the movie it was played by Steve Martin.
Yeah, sing it and...
No.
Okay.
But it's basically about... He basically sings how he used to torture animals when he was a child, and then his mother said, you should be a dentist because then you can torture people and you get paid for it.
Okay.
And I recite, when I last saw my dentist, I kept going, you never, how can you never have heard the song? And he was like, no, I've never heard of it. I was like, but it's about being a dentist.
Yeah.
And I recited the whole song to him, and he got like increasingly more and more offended.
Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah.
No, it's about, he's a torturer. You're a torturer, and you get paid to be an evil person.
But is the... the dentist, like in Denmark, in New Zealand, it was like, mate, you're going to the murder house, are you? You're going to the murder house. And it was always like, you know, he drilled through Jenny's mouth the other day.
Oh, my
and
God. Like, is that like the local dentist of New Zealand?
It was like a shaky guy, and he just, oh, it was awful. But then,
but
New Zealand was always behind, so we were always a little bit modern technology and stuff like that.
Oh.
And I just remember dentistry being a bit barbaric, you know?
Well, you're also, what, 40, 50 years older than me?
50?
So, yeah,
well,
something,
I'm
sorry,
clearly
40,
not 50
45.
Years older than you. I'm 44, actually.
Yeah.
How old are you?
Yeah, 27.
27.
So it's up
Kurt
there.
Cobain, isn't it? That was
what?
Didn't Kurt Cobain die at 27?
Oh, yeah, everyone died when they were 27.
Jesus,
no, knowing,
Jesus
knowing,
33.
Knowing my luck, it won't happen. I'll be like 28.
You're
going,
a t-shirt.
Oh, I'm not a legend.
There's loads of t-shirts waiting with your face on. Ah, God.
Yeah, because I bought them to hand out. No one wants them.
I'm always going back and forth.
Yeah.
But the bubble wrap was about Westlife.
Bubble wrap was about. It sounds so cliche. It was about learning to love yourself. And I was a big Westlife fan when I was a teenager, and I kind of explored that, like, because I was like huge. Insane Westlife fan. Like, it was like people are like, oh, I'm also a Westlife fan. I'm like, no, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You have no, unless you've stepped outside of a hotel for 4 days and literally chased them in cabs, like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
And I kind of went, like, found out, you know, the parallels between how I was like as a teenager and when I started learning that, you know, that I was worth something and, you know, kind of battle with body image issues and stuff. So Westlife was kind of just the, what would you call that? Like the, you know,
the
story,
red line.
Yeah, the metaphor or something,
like the
example of.
And then the new show is,
oh, it's about sadness.
Sadness.
Yeah, it's really dark.
Wet life. Not wet life. Westlife. They're finished now, are they?
Yeah, in more ways than one.
How did that hurt you? Did that hurt when?
Oh, it was. I thought so. Well, no, because I stopped being a fan when I was 15, and they kind of.
How did you stop?
I got friends.
like you Brian, got up from outside the hotel and went, enough.
Now, Brian left the band, and then they kind of lost a bit of their mystique. And then I turned 15, and I started getting friends and kissing boys. And, you know, I just got older, like, because I was a fan from when I was 12 to 15, and that's the time you should be doing it. So, but I remember when I had just moved to London, and their final goodbye concert was in London. And I could choose between going to that because it was not sold out. Choosing going to that concert and see them for like one last time, or do a gig that would pay me like 100 kroner. And it was a really hard decision, but I ended up going to the gig because I was like,
really?
Yeah, I was like, no, like my own gig, like the 100 kroner.
Because
I was like, no, I'm not. I don't care anymore. It's just about like stand up. I'd rather do a 5 minute spot, you know, get like so far away and get paid shit, and then go to.
Wow.
And I felt like, oh, okay.
now
it's done.
You've cut the umbilical cord.
Yeah. And then ever since then, when I've met them, it's been really nice meeting them, not wanting to scream.
Yeah. What annoys you about the world?
Stupid people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, stupid people, it's so, you know, people can be stupid.
A lack of intelligence or just stupid people?
I mean,
lack of understanding?
I think it's okay, you know, you can't help it if you're stupid. You know, a lot of times you can't help it when you're stupid, but there are loud stupid people, I guess. People who don't understand that they're stupid. People, you know, trolls, you know, people who...
You've been trolled.
Oh, yeah. I'm a woman on the internet. It happened.
I'm so naive, though. with it all. I don't know I don't know how someone is allowed to write, I'm gonna do awful things to you.
Yeah, it's
I find it amazing. Yeah. And
hopefully it will be. Hopefully in, I don't know, 5, 10, 20 years, it'll be a, oh my God, once upon a time, this was a thing that happened. Hopefully that's how we'll, where we'll end up. But when you look at what's happening now in the world and what side people who get media time, what side they're on, you can almost not blame people for thinking it's okay. Yeah. When someone who so obviously and clearly raped someone gets 3 months in jail.
6 months, the guy Stanford.
Yeah, but he only has to serve 3 months.
Wow. I mean,
And that's more than 98%.
The letter that she wrote. Yeah. Oh.
And that, but he still gets a longer sentence than 98% of all rapists get.
Really?
Yeah. But most people, you know, most people don't report their rapes. Most people don't even get prosecuted. So you know, when the world has that view of women, you can't really. How can you expect a 14-year-old boy who hates himself to not, you know, write shitty things to women? And you know, of course, you can. You know, I'm not saying it's okay or it's not, but it's such a bigger problem than those people who do it. You know, it's a big, big societal. I just watched a silly American sitcom. What's it called? New Girl, with Zooey Deschanel, and it's sort of like a silly whatever. And the whole episode was just about how, you know, you shouldn't, you know, how women should look, how their boobs should look, how they shouldn't be fat, how men should chase girls, and it was just such a low view of women. And I just thought, and that's, you know, regular comedy, daytime TV thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how can you expect people to understand?
But sometimes, you know, I think I'm offending people. I'm not trying to offend them, but I'll say, I feel sometimes I have to watch what I say.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all speak, yeah. You know, it wasn't until like a year ago I found out that it's called transgender, not transsexual. And you know, I've just always said trans. No one's ever told me. One's ever, and it is my own responsibility to find these things out. But
do you think it's getting too politically?
No.
You don't.
No, politically correct is just, you know, respect people and find out that there are people we don't see or we haven't seen until now, and now they want equality, and now they want respect, and that is so fair. It's basically just saying respect people. These, you know, if we go around saying transsexual, it's like complaint, you know, because it's nothing to do with sexuality, and that's what transsexual says, and that's not that, it's about gender. So if we go around, and then we go, oh, it's so, oh, now I have to learn a new word. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard for me. Well, how do you think it is for them?
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking, you know, not, so.
But it does feel like things just get updated, though.
It does, yeah.
It feels
a
bit like iOS on the Apple phone, like, shit, there's a new update, there's a new word, and I've, you know.
Yeah, and we just have to deal with that because, you know, we don't have to, but we definitely should. And it doesn't take that much energy.
But it doesn't take much energy to be a nice, you know, person. Look, you know, but some people are clumsy, and other people are assholes.
Oh yeah, but you know what? But my experience is that the people I've spoken to who are lesser privileged in areas than me, people of color or trans people or gay people, I've never heard any of them go, like, be genuinely upset if I've misunderstood something or if I've said something wrong. They've just gone, oh hey, actually.
Yeah.
Would you mind?
Yeah, but I think that's good.
And then you go, oh, I'm so sorry. And they go, no, it's fine. Just now you know. And you go, oh. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes. And then you just don't do it again.
And it's our generation. I know I'm 50 years older than you, but it is our generation. My parents, they don't know what's, you know.
Yeah.
That you can't, they don't know what's going on. You know. If I tried to explain, they're like, huh? What? You know.
Yeah.
And they're not mean people. They just don't. They've had enough updates, you know.
But even I visited my grandparents, and my grandfather is a horrific, horrible human being, like racist, sexist, everything. And he suddenly it's just said he's voted for the Danish right wing party.
Because you've got a right wing government, haven't you?
Yeah, we do, and he is part of why they are there. And he voted for them, and all of a sudden he was like, "Oh, you know what? I think I'm gonna start voting for Enhedslisten, which is our extremely left wing." And okay. He's 79, like maybe in his 80s.
Yeah.
And he just changed his mind. And I thought, oh, it's not completely, it's not impossible. But I do also believe that there's a generation that we need to.
What made him change, though?
Well, he just didn't like the, it was a weird, because they're such an old-fashioned household and they only read racist news and, you know. And all of a sudden he said, because he didn't like the new front person in this racist party, and he actually really liked the new front person in the left-wing party. And then he said, and can you believe she's not married? And then my grandmother said, that doesn't matter, that doesn't fucking matter. And he was like, oh yeah, that's right. And I was like, whoa, you're having like a politically cool. correct left-wing conversation. So I think, of course you can. It's just about learning how to respect people.
How do you feel in England? What's it like in you live in London now.
Yeah.
Very multicultural. Yeah. I found it a very open society, but then more so, I for me it was like I had quite a few friends in New Zealand, small town, who would have like blue hair and a nose piercing, but they were the strange, weird people in the village, you know. So they would move to Sydney, and I find people move to London because they can have freedom of expression.
Yeah.
Do you find it like that there?
Yeah, I think so. It's the same as, I grew up in a tiny little village as well, and then I moved to Copenhagen, and then from Copenhagen to London, and it does feel like, compared to London, Copenhagen is kind of the village.
Yeah.
Because it's still, you don't know how white Copenhagen is until you've been to other places. You go, oh, wow. Oh, we think we're very open, but we have, no one stands out really.
I think Sweden is so beautiful for that. People from all over. And there's a problem and stuff like that. People have problems with it.
Mm.
I don't understand that problem. There's enough, it's always that people, they're coming in, that it's never that if you
I quite like the comedy scene in London is very much there's a lot of focus on it being PC at the moment.
Okay.
There's a lot of focus on if someone does a rape joke on stage, the whole audience will react, like there'll be a gasp and a what the fuck was this kind of thing, where it's more normal in Denmark to have that kind of comedy.
But I haven't been to England for a while to do comedy, but I found there was like this ironic kind of rape jokes, ironic kind of racism kind of, but yeah. I didn't really mean it.
Yeah, what's interesting about London, the UK and the circuits, is there's basically two kind of circuits. There's the club circuit, which is all the comedy clubs. It's Jonglers, it's Comedy Store, it's, four people, an MC, and three people doing 20 each.
Yeah.
And it's often rowdy, drunk, people from the suburbs, or people from Leeds or whatever, coming in. And, they're drunk at the stag do's and hen do's. And then there's the Soho Theatre crowd and the Edinburgh Festival crowd.
Yeah.
It's two different worlds. So you wouldn't normally see an alternative comedian or... So there are people who do hours who rarely do the club circuit and the other way around. It's rare that the club circuit comics take an hour to Edinburgh because it's just not the same crowd. So there's the theatre crowd who wants PC and they wouldn't accept even an ironic rape joke, and they don't want to hear white people talk about racism, they don't want to hear men talk about women, they're very focused on what's right and what's good, and they don't show up drunk, they just show up to watch. And then there's a club circuit, which is completely different. And I've seen horrific stuff in the club circuit.
Yeah.
And the club circuit is where when I go on stage, people will get up and leave or go to the bathroom or start talking to each other. And
is it that bad?
I mean, it's not.
That's
it. There'll be one in each show where they go, oh, woman, and then they go to the bathroom or something. Oh, I'll be heckled by men who want to tell me what my joke's about. So if I go, there should be a club for fat people.
Yeah.
He would go, you could join that. Like, yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Oh, you idiot. Oh my god. That's what I mean about stupid people. You go, oh, for fuck's sake. And then there's a theater crowd where if a white straight cisgendered man goes on stage, they're a bit. Oh, let's see what this guy has to say.
Yeah.
What can you possibly have to say?
Yeah.
You've never been oppressed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of divided into two, and I started out doing the club circuit, and now after I did an hour, I can kind of do that, and I don't have to do the club circuit anymore. And I prefer to do my hour.
Yeah, in front of your own audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And over a longer time, you can kind of pace, it's your pace.
Yeah.
You don't have to, I find it here, we're doing like 10 minutes, 10 minutes. And I feel that pace has to be like...
There's no way you can start opening up about your, so I was in a mental hospital.
You can't even... I mean, I did it last night with 20 minutes, but with 10 minutes, you can't really chat to them so much.
Yeah, well, that's what you chat to them a lot.
You can't bring it down and go, hey,
Yeah.
But, who knows?
But that's what, when you start out, you have your 10, and then that's fucking tight.
Yeah.
And then you kill everyone with your 10, and you kill with your 20. Then you do an hour. When you go back to doing 20s, it's like, you're so much slower because you're used to having an hour to really get into things and tell your motivation behind why you were saying the things you were saying in the bit. And you just
it's
have
so
to get rid of all of that.
It's so important as well to gig, to do so many gigs. I love doing shows.
Yeah.
It's like a muscle.
Yeah.
You just got to keep doing it,
It's amazing.
And I genuinely can't believe I do it. It's such a buzz still.
It's crazy.
It's still so much, I mean, especially for me and you as well, like the way that you've gone to a different country. I moved to Sweden thinking, how will this go? And then it's just people just like what I do, and I love them. And I'm not ashamed of that.
No, of course not.
I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing. I just get up there and and have fun with them. So
yeah, it's what I do.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
not just like my mom. I was complaining about how Edinburgh is so expensive, and she said, "Oh, why don't you just not go?" And I was like, what? No, that's not an option.
You know,
I can't. Oh, there was a.
Especially when you've won the award. You won the.
No, I do. I know what you mean. And yeah, of course, in like business terms, you have to go up again.
I think as the champion, you have to go up.
Well, there are all these rules and stuff, but that all of that, even if that wasn't there, I have to go. Yeah. It's all I do. It's all I am. It's all I have. It's. Did you see that documentary called I Am Comic?
No.
I think it's Todd Barry who tells the story of having been booked to do a gig, and he turns up and he realizes it's a funeral for a soldier or a police officer, and the sister or mother or something goes up, and the priest says, the mother has to do a speech first, and then when she's done that, you go up. And then she goes up and she falls to her knees and screams and cries. Uh-huh. And then the priest goes, and now some comedy. And he goes up, and then in the documentary he says, it would never have occurred to me to not go up there.
Yeah.
And he says, that's what we do. We look at that. And he said, normal people would just not do it.
Yeah.
We have to, even in that situation, we will go up and we'll do it. And when I saw that, I thought,
yeah.
There's so many gigs I've done where I've thought, it just doesn't occur to me to not still do the gig.
Yeah.
Because it's I'd rather do a shitty gig than that gig at all.
And also, it's impossible to walk away from a show. Do you know what? I can't do that. I think if you get to that point, I think you need to take time off. It's a mental thing, I think,
Yeah. But it's such a, for me, it's the perfect place. It's the perfect thing for me. So the first time I went to Edinburgh 3 years ago, I was so hungover. I've never been that hungover before. I'd flown in. It was raining. My suitcase was so heavy because I'd packed for a whole month.
Yeah.
I went and got the keys for our flat. I had to walk 20 minutes up a hill. I was just crying. Like, I was so broken. I was just, like, crying in the street. And then this guy, a promoter, comes up to me, and he just went, "Hey, we're doing a gig in here in 5 minutes. Do you want to go in? And if you do, you have to do a double act with this guy you've never met before."
Mm.
And I said, "Yes." Yeah. And I went into this venue completely soaked and drenched and hungover, and I went up and improvised a double act with some weird guy, and it wasn't the most fun in the whole world.
And here
I am. But it was just a thing, and I just remember thinking, I'll never not do Edinburgh. I have to be up here. Yeah. This is...
And you'll never not do Stockholm. Link.
June the 19th. June the 19th, Sunday, 6 p.m. at Big Ben.
Yeah.
And there are...
Which is on Folkungsgarten, and it's Belletto.
And yeah, if you go to Belletto, punctum, do you have punctum? Like that, like
yeah,
period?
Yeah, Belletto, punct.se, yeah.
Punct.se.
Yeah.
And, or du sucker på...
Belletto.
Or du sucker på Sofia Hagen. How would you say it in Swedish? Oh, you don't speak Swedish.
No.
So you were like, oh, sure.
Yeah. No, but I, yeah... but your accent was a bit...
Was it not Swedish?
Just disturbed me, but it was...
Really?
I find your accent a little bit South African.
Ah, oh, no.
Yeah.
that's
your English
that's
accent's
racist.
Got a little bit...
No. Okay. Äntligen har jag lyckats boka en av de största smålarna. What's a smålarna? Smålarna?
Are you honestly
asking me... I'm speaking Swedish now.
Yeah.
På förra årets Edinburgh Fringe Fest... Det var en stor ära att få presentera Sofia Hagen, den danska komikern som bussade i London. Oh god. So it's if you go to Belletto and search for Sophie Hagen, and then you can search for Shimmer Shatter, which is a name.
And it's an hour show.
It's an hour work in progress.
It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, you want people to Yeah.
I'd love, yeah, of course. You know, it's, I mean, if you like comedy, I love watching work in progress shows because you see the comedian working out a show, and that's so interesting to see where
and
it is.
And it's my wedding anniversary.
Is it?
So
congratulations.
Maybe like 5 minutes in, just point to the sky.
To the sky.
For picture.
My God.
Just carry on.
My God, I'll
My
picture.
God. My Hercules. Thank you so much for popping into my business center in the Copia.
In Finland.
You know, yeah, it's weird. It's the only business center I could book on this day.
Well, I flew in for just that.
Yeah. We're going to go off and do some shows now.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Pleasure working
Thank
with you.
Thank you. You too.
Svaria, go in Stockholm. Go June the 19th, Sunday. Go and see her. And we'll be back with another podcast again. Me. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.